Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
All right. Hello and welcome to this week's Must Hear Music podcast. I'm sitting here with Erica Ramirez.
Hi. This is the first time that you've said my name first than Jason's.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
You know, keep it this way and I'll come back.
All right. If I just have to make that tweak, then consider it done. And Jason Lipschutz.
What's up, man?
Hey. This will, you know, mean nothing to anyone listening, but we are Billboard's moving offices, so this is our last podcast in this office. It's real bittersweet. It's
times they go.
So if it sounds,
we remember.
If you hear us crying at the end, people will know why.
Yeah, but we're gonna have a special hip new podcast room at our upcoming office, a room dedicated to podcasts. So if it sounds more high-tech next time, do not be surprised. If we have, like, sound effects...
Probably won't.
It probably won't, yeah. We'll have one sound effect, and it'll just be a fart noise. And
people will
be like, this is awful. all right, well, let's jump in. So we're on a timetable here. So we've got...
Jason's a busy man.
We're all busy, guys. Come on. Don't blame it on me.
All right, so Dr. Dre, as you probably heard, put out an album called Compton.
Wait a minute.
To bring you up to speed.
Dr. Dre?
It was one of those weird things where, you know, people have been talking about a new Dre album for a decade, and then, like, with 2 weeks' notice, we found out one was coming, people remained skeptical, and then actually came, and it's actually incredible. And we were going to focus on... Let's just talk about the whole thing. But so, Erica.
Yes.
What are your thoughts on this? Some people are saying new classic. Some people are saying just good album.
I hate when people call albums classics, like, from jump. Like, I feel like in order to be a classic, you need to actually, like, appreciate it, like, months down the line. Like, the fact, if you still want to listen to this album, like, next year, then maybe you could just start considering it a classic. But it's just, like, it's only been 2 weeks. You know, that's not saying that it's not good, because it is really good. It's a very, like, cohesive album. It flows amazingly. And, like, one thing that I'm happy about is that Dre is realistic as to where he is in his life, as far as, like, him talking about it in his lyrics, as far as the production. It's really, like, up to date. Like, Dre knows what's going on, and I'm glad that we hear that on the album. You know, there's new artists that we have heard of, haven't heard from, so that's also very exciting. I mean, overall, I think it's a really great album, and it just, you know, proves the point that this year is a pretty great year in rap. One of the best years that we've had in a while. So it's an exciting time. And I think that this album, like, just makes that even more exciting.
I think it's cool, especially you were saying, you know, this proves it's a good year for rap. And I was looking at debut week sales for rap albums. And, like, the best sellers are some of the best albums, too, which is kind of a rare thing in any genre of music. Like, I mean, if you're reading this, It's Too Late would certainly not be my favorite hip-hop album of the year, but
what?
It is a good album, and that's so far been the best rap debut week.
Is this because you're on Team Meek Mill?
I would not say I'm on Team Meek Mill. I would not
very
go that
surprising.
Far. Let's say I'm on Team Feeling Bad for Nicki.
Aww.
But anyways, after Drake, Kendrick sold a ton of records. I mean, and that's a brilliant album. This looks like it's going to sell about as much as Kendrick, maybe a little less. Meek Mill's actually did sell a ton, too. It's just, so a lot of the better rap albums of this year have sold really well, too, which is cool.
Why are you sleeping, Jason?
I half yawned.
So, you know, coincidentally, you yawned.
It's
been
a long day.
Meek Mill. So.
I'm yawning because obviously I'm pro Meek Mill. And
no,
I have to rep Philly.
Well, you do love Philly.
I do love Philly. Yeah,
that's it's been a whole other conversation.
It's been a tough stretch for Philly with like the sports teams and then Meek Mill. Anyway, we're not talking about Meek Mill. We're talking about the Dr. Dre album, which it's funny because I just heard this for the first time yesterday.
What?
I know. I've been meaning. Guys, it's been
this
a
was
busy.
Amigos album, I know you're planning a wedding.
I know. It's a busy time in my
life.
I haven't even listened to the whole Migos album. Oh, my goodness. But like, where are my priorities?
I know.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, yeah, this is it's like you touched upon, the production is the standout to me. And it's just so nice to hear like Dr. Dre, who's been such an influence on West Coast hip hop, just kind of coming back and not sounding like a dinosaur, which I feel like really could have been a possibility. Like,
yeah, our producer's laughing, but like that was actually like a concern of mine, just because the last time that we heard something, and I honestly don't remember the name, but I remember him talking about like smoking weed and being in the club, and I'm just like, you're not in the club like that. Like,
remember how bad the songs he put out when the one time it actually did seem like Detox was gonna come out,
right,
when he did like Kush and
I think it was Kush that is just like, what are you
doing?
Man,
those songs were bad. Like,
right.
I Need a Doctor is a horrible song. But yeah, these are not horrible songs. And
it just doesn't feel forced. Like, this feels right.
I know. I feel like maybe, I mean, that was before Kendrick Lamar was anybody we knew of.
Right.
And maybe just his presence. And, you know, Dre's done a lot with Kendrick, especially on Good Kid, Mad City. And maybe that influence helped modernize his sound a little bit.
Yeah, that's a good point. I didn't think of that.
And I think, yeah, coupled especially with working on the NWA movie, which is what he said directly influenced this album, it seems to have given him kind of like the ideal, like what you're saying, it sounds modern and like the Kendrickness of this makes it seem fresh, but he's also like not afraid to look back on his like place in history and where he comes from. And, like, that only strengthens this album, really. Like, because it would be bad, too, if it went the whole other direction, was him trying to sound, like, super relevant. You know, like, he needs to acknowledge that he's old, you know, and that he is, like, part of hip-hop history at this point.
Yeah.
Even if he can still affect it.
He started rapping about, like, stuff being on Fleek and stuff. Oh, my God.
No, and I think he did a good job by getting producers like, Premier and then also DJ Dahi. Like, people that we still know, but also they've worked with him in the past, and like new artists like King Mez and Anderson .Paak and like Marsha Ambrosia. Like, it's just, it's a good mixture of like
Exhibit
then and now. Exhibit
the X to the Z.
Cubes on there too. And like, I think one of the songs that you mentioned offline, Joe, was the one where he's talking about Eazy-E. So I think that goes back to like just Dre really, you get a sense that this is really him talking, not like, oh, I'm in the club and doing things I actually am not doing. Yeah. But like, I think that song just proves that. That's like, of course, it was inspired by the movie or him working on the movie, and then also just things that he probably was going through at the time.
Yeah. Well, let's listen to that one, because that is the song I wanted to toss to.
Yeah.
So it's the final song on Compton. It's called Talking to My Diary. And we hear Dre get pretty candid. He imagines Easy looking down on him from heaven. And I always like get my like beef history mixed up, but I feel like Dre and him didn't like settle their beef by the time Easy died, or they like maybe did, but it was an uneasy truce. So like, it's pretty significant that he's,
I think,
like,
it's more so the latter. Like,
yeah.
I mean, I think that they weren't like they didn't hate each other or anything.
Yeah.
Like, I just don't think that there was, it wasn't really fully settled.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's a pretty like meaningful moment. And so let's listen to it. Talking to My Diary, Dr. Dre.
Don't be surprised that I built an enterprise and my house got a view of the city like a high rise. I'm just talking to my diary. I'm just talking to my diary. When I open up my book, I think about the world later. No ink in the pen, no lines on the paper. I'm just talking to my diary. I'm just.
All right, that was the new Dr. Dre Talking to My Diary from Compton. Like Erica said, like, it's a really great cohesive listen. Definitely worth downloading, listening to start to finish.
Also, the movie. People really need to go watch that movie.
I really want to see the movie.
Like,
yeah,
it's
comes
worth
out
it.
Friday.
I can only imagine how it's going to be in the West Coast, like in LA. Just like going and seeing that as like a unit. But yeah, it's a great movie.
Nice. And so, yeah. So next up, let's do Robin. So we've got a new Robin song. It's technically under the moniker, I'm going to mangle this because I don't speak French, La Bagatelle Magique. Something like that.
La Bagatelle Magique.
Jason's okay. Got it.
Going to France.
He put on
like
a beret
weeks.
Suddenly. Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway, so this is a trio that consists of Robin. Again, don't know, Marcus Jagerstedt, and a producer that she had worked with a long time, Christian Falk, who actually passed away, yeah, I think, R&B. About a year and a half ago, yeah. Or something. So he passed away a bit ago, and they announced the project posthumously. So it's a trio where, like, two of the three are alive, which is kind of a weird situation. I'm guessing there won't be a huge tour behind
this.
No,
she's playing a couple shows. She's playing one show in the U.S. behind this project this year, at least, and then a couple shows in Europe.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Nice.
But yeah.
But anyway, so the song I picked is the title track from this mini album or EP, whatever they're calling it. It's called Love is Free. I think it's definitely the standout. It's just like this awesome, like high energy throwback dance thing. I recently started watching, like, start to finish is my intention, Queer as Folk. And so, like, ooh, every episode is like one third of it takes place in the club.
You decided to binge watch Queer as Folk?
Yes.
Why?
I don't know, because I watched the first episode and I was like, this is the world I want to be in a lot.
Wow.
It's great.
It's just, I'm surprised because I've never heard anyone be like, that show is great. Like, I've only like, yes, that's a show. Like, that's,
it's true.
That's,
it is,
well,
a show.
You just met, here's a man.
This is the first one.
Is it that good?
I don't want to say it's that good, but let's just say it's really fun.
It's entertaining.
The dialogue is awesome.
I want to give you like other shows.
And there are
watch.
Like just
stop
so many
hating.
Like over the top sex scenes. It's incredible. So you want to just
I'm
like
sold.
Watch like porn, basically. That's not quite porn.
All right.
Where
watch
is this?
That.
Where is this going?
Netflix Instant, yeah. Guys. Anyway, so weird. So I'm watching this, and I think the first episode is like in 2000. So obviously, a lot of the music is late 90s, and that's 100% what this Robin track reminds me of. Is like the like disco-y like gay 90s clubs. Not like, I mean, I was a child then, so not like I'm familiar with that scene. But from what I gather, that's what it sounded like, according to an HBO show from 15 years ago.
This is all very interesting.
Yeah, this is crazy.
I'm learning so much about Joe.
I know. I can't get over that. Like, it basically be like if I was like, oh yeah, I'm binge watching all of Charles in Charge. Yeah, I started. I'm up to episode 80. You'd be like, that's really strange.
The last show, I didn't make it through the first season, but the last show I was like, I'm gonna start watching this episode by episode. Was the Dick Van Dyke Show, which is another totally
thing.
I know. I don't know why.
What's going on, Joe?
I don't know. I have a hard time.
This needs to be an offline conversation.
This is an offline conversation.
You were the one who was totally unaware when we were talking about Friday Night Lights the other
week. Well, I don't like sports, so I'm not going to watch that show.
It's not about sports. Anyway, okay, let's talk about Robin.
But yeah.
So
this song isn't like as like, I don't know what to say, like hard hitting as like her song. Like I was expecting something like Call Your Girlfriend or something like that. But
well,
it's a lot more smoother than like
the whole
that.
Thing is, and I'm just totally disclaimer, I'm commenting on this song without seeing multiple seasons of Queer as Folk.
So okay.
Same. It's hard. Same.
So it's funny because I feel like I wrote about Robin last week in like a underrated pop artist kind of thing. And I one of the things I said was that even when it's like her minor projects, which is what this is, it's still kind of essential. Like you get the sense that, yeah, Erica, I agree. It's not like Dancing on My Own or Call Your Girlfriend. It's not one of those stunning pop songs, but it's still so good. Like,
yeah, it's still very good.
Yeah, her songwriting is just so much more intricate and expertly arranged than her contemporaries, and I just love what she's doing. I agree that this is like, the caveat is this is a minor project. I think that she would admit that. I think the Royksopp mini album last year was also a minor project, but had some great songs on it. So, you know, this is something to check out.
I think I prefer the one from last year. Like,
I think so too.
Yeah, but it's still, this is good.
Wait, her solo album? No, or
she made a mini album last year with Royksopp, who's a like electronic duo. It was five songs, and they like three of the five songs were like incredible.
Yeah,
I would say so.
All right. Well, let's listen to a tease of this and all seasons of Queer as Folk on Netflix now. I'm on the payroll.
You behind? Yeah.
Yeah.
This is crazy, man.
All right. Anyway, so the song is Robin, Love is Free.
I'ma give it love forever. No, you can't control it. Slow down. I'ma give it to you, baby, baby. I'ma give it like a mother, like a mother. Safe like a rubber, like a rubber. Mala like a feather. Slow down. It's all over this city. Sometimes in the nitty, sometimes in the gritty. In the gritty. You know I give it to you better. I'ma give it love forever. No, you can't control it. Slow down.
Love is free, baby. All right, that was Robin, Love is Free. Next up, let's talk about the debut single from Hailee Steinfeld, called Love Myself.
I forgot that we were
talking
about
this. Someone really got excited.
Totally
very
forgot
excited. So this is a Taylor Swift squad member.
Squad.
Oscar nominee for True Grit. And someone who was in Pitch Perfect, too.
Pitch Perfect,
okay, too. Get your phone. If you're going to be like this.
And she's, what, 18?
No,
I think she's 18, maybe
up.
19.
I am not sure how old she is, but I think she's around there because True Grit, she was like 13,
yeah,
maybe?
That's
so. Yeah,
right.
That was probably around 18 now. Yeah, so Love Myself is a song. It's a debut single from Hailee Steinfeld. She also, for those who like this and like Hailee Steinfeld, also check out her recent duet with Shawn Mendes. They did Stitches Acoustic, a song I really like. Check that out. But yeah, Love Myself. It's a pop anthem. It sounds like arena sized, and it is very much about masturbation. So but it's just like one of those, like,
our producer all of a sudden, like,
in the air, I love masturbation. I mean, if you read the lyrics, it's very clearly what that's about, but it's so awesome and so fun, and I think that she nails this. Like, you get a sense of who she is, you get a sense of what kind of pop music she wants to make.
She nails it. I think we all smart.
All right, come on.
No, I mean, I started to, like, you go, girl. Like,
yeah,
that's all I have to say about this.
Yeah,
song.
She like the whole point of the song is like, I don't need anyone because I can take care of myself.
Good one.
As it were. So yeah, I just think that this is the perfect introduction. Like, if you're a pop artist trying to figure out how to get your foot in the door, how to make an impression, because you know, you see these actresses come out and with a music career want to cross over, but they just don't really make that strong impression. I'm thinking of like the one immediately that comes to mind is like after all that build up to Lea Michele's pop career, like Cannonball was just nothing really memorable, but like this is something that like
thud.
You know, you think about like Love Myself, it's immediate, it's something that's like almost a calling card that wants me to hear more. So yeah, go Hailee Steinfeld.
Yeah, seriously, that's all I have to say. I mean, I did not know until Jason pulled up the lyrics. Jason says I can't drink Snapple because I told him to stop, like, checking his phone. Anyways, but I wasn't even going to drink it. I was just taking off the cap. No, I mean, listen, this song, I can't even focus anymore. But yeah, I didn't know what it was about until Jason pulled up the lyrics. And I was like, you know, like, good for her. Like, also, like, what an awesome, like you said, what an awesome first single to like debut.
I know.
So.
I'd love to. I would love to talk to her. I haven't talked to her about this song yet, but I would love to ask her. Like,
I wonder. Like,
yeah. Like,
I wonder if like anyone has like came up to her and be like, "Is that song about?"
And she'd be like, "Yes."
Yeah.
Yes.
Like, I hope she is telling people like, "Yes."
Yeah. Come on, it has to be.
Yeah. There's no way. At first, I wasn't sure, but then when I like read the lyrics, I was like, "Yeah, there's no way of like mistaking." There's one like. Know how to satisfy keeping that tempo right without you.
Yeah.
Like, definitely. Anyways, my love for Love Myself is a little tempered. I think
talk about it.
It seems to me a little more like bombast than like real emotion, but damn. You know, it's a fine. Like I do like the song.
All right. I feel like you didn't like the song, but now you've come around a little bit.
I've come around where I like it. I have to say, yeah. The fact that it's about masturbation makes me like it a lot more.
All right, great.
If it was just a song about loving yourself,
if it was fight song, you would not be on board.
I do not enjoy fight song. Oh, and poor Rachel if Patton. Fight song was about masturbation, that would at least another
Again,
star.
We're learning
in the
so much about Joe on this episode.
yeah, basically, just loves sex, man. All right,
that's pretty much it. Yeah. That's my what one requirement.
My self new love show, and the love my new forever. Favorite show. It's basically porn.
Yeah, this is what I said. Maybe we can edit that out later on.
No. You go, man. You go, Joe.
Anyways, let's listen to it. So it's Hailee Steinfeld, her debut single, "Love Myself."
Taking nice and slow, feeling good on my own without you. Yeah, got me speaking in tongues.
All right, that was the new and debut Hailee Steinfeld. And that makes me think for this week's Must Hear throwback track, Cyndi Lauper's She Bop, which is from her debut album, She's So Unusual, which is one of my all time favorites. This was, for God knows what reason, an album I listened to literally every day for 3 to 4 months when I was 15. Why did I do that?
Cool.
I don't know. I just really liked it. It was actually the first like pop album I got into because I grew up kind of being more of like a rock sort of fellow. So yeah. when I got this, I was like, wait, I like pop, which I guess I always liked radio pop and shit. But
yeah,
that was the first like old pop record that I was like, oh, I guess I do like stuff like that. Anyways, though, but enough about me. The reason I'm selecting She Bop is it is also a song about female masturbation. And
yeah, man.
It's about
you let that
Cyndi Lauper
for us
looking at guys in magazines and getting off to it. And her parents don't understand. And it's a great track. Check it out. I'm sure it's on Spotify and all.
Is there
all the other
can
things?
Be like a spinoff podcast?
Yeah. The must
Joe
touch.
Sex Jam.
Yeah.
Jams, yeah, I like that.
Welcome.
No, stop it.
Anyways, I'm gonna go take a shower after this. So let's. So that's this week's Must Hear throwback track. And let's move on to something slightly less dirty. Fetty Wap, new song.
Yes.
Again.
Yeah.
Fetty Wap made a love song.
Aww.
It's so exciting. I like. Fetty Wap is very endearing, at least to me.
Yeah.
I really like just like his charisma. I've never met the guy, but he just seems like very, like a great guy. And I think that he makes songs very true to his life. At least it seems like it. So I just really like this song just because it's more of like a love song and clearly aimed at a girl he's trying to win back. So it just kind of shows how diverse Fetty Wap can be or has the potential to be. So yeah, that's why I chose this track. We need a little love with all this sex talk, Joe, you know?
Yeah.
Filthy. Yeah, I love this song. Like, I don't know what it is about. You're right. Like,
he's just
so charismatic, just like when he's singing and rapping. And it's weird because he's not like, you wouldn't say like what an incredible MC or like what a magnificent voice, but somehow like there's just so much personality that comes across, and he doesn't even like oversell anything.
Yeah,
it's just like
he's
a really
such an ear for hooks. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, and it's just I mean he like you mentioned that I should say that he is pretty much like singing on this song, not necessarily rapping. So I actually like that too. It just it sounds natural. Also, like I could hear him like sing this. So, yeah.
Right. And yeah, it's a great love song. I mean, he has two songs in the top 10 right now. And I feel like I wouldn't be surprised if this hits the top 10.
Yeah, I was thinking that maybe like this is one of those songs that maybe needs like a co-sign or like a remix. But it might be a little tougher because this one's more, you know, more of like a love song. But I could see that happening.
Yeah. Yeah, I could see like with a radio edit or like, a remix, someone hopping on.
Yeah.
Who would you put on the remix, Jason?
I don't know. I feel like A$AP Rocky has been tearing it up a little bit on the remix end.
Yeah.
I've been enjoying his stuff. I do dock this about half a point for not being a cover of Janet Jackson's again, because I think I would really want to hear
Tough
Fetty
but
Wap
fair.
Yeah. Listen, I'm about to like tweet at Fetty Wap and be like, hey, just a little suggestion via Jason.
Just a heads
if you
up.
Don't do it, Jason will.
Oh yeah.
She's back. If she did a Fetty Wap collaboration, that would be fire.
You know what is a little disappointing is his song with Natalie LaRose.
That song.
Yeah, that one I wasn't as. I think I like listened to it once.
Which was
it,
it's good. I just
it.
Want it to be better because I love Somebody by Natalie. Mm-hmm.
It's her song featuring him and yeah. Isn't it someone else also or no?
No, it's just the two of them. Okay. But anyway, yeah, Fetty Wap out here thriving.
Yeah, which is weird because like you usually don't see someone come out and like have their first hit and then have multiple hits follow it so closely.
Yeah, we talk. I talked with Keith on Pop Shop podcast a lot about how the second hit is usually way more important than the first hit, because it's like if you don't want to be like Magic, you don't want to be just like playing Rude over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. Like you see what happened when, like, you know, Meghan Trainor has three hits, I guess, if you count Dear Future Husband, but like after All About That Bass, like Lips
well,
Are
now
Moving.
She's got the one with Puth too. Yeah, Marvin Gaye is
true. That is true. It is true.
Climbing the charts.
But you know, you look at Iggy after Fancy, mm-hmm. Black Widow did so well. So it's like you need that second hit to really sustain yourself and keep that momentum going and go from like an artist people know to an artist people care about.
Right. That's a good point.
Hey, thanks.
Loving that. Yeah. All right, well, let's listen to it. Fetty Wap again.
Big bank rolls in my pockets, all 50s. Turned a little check, then I showed you I could triple it. Baby, it's Uber, I only want you. I don't give a fuck who can tats on my face. She don't give a fuck who's still looking too good. Get you fucked on sight. I'm trying to finish this who I started with. I'm trying to spend it all who I got it with. Hey, she my trap queen, let her hit the band though. Hey,
all right, that was Fetty Wap again. And next and last, let's do Robert DeLonge, Better Days.
I've seen Better Days. Remember that song?
No. What are you saying?
Yes, but I
do. You remember that song?
Yes, I do.
Citizen King?
I don't know who sings it.
And the bomb drops out. I've seen Better Days.
I think
days.
I remember seeing it in a commercial.
Yeah, that's... Anyways, let's talk about Rob, guys.
Totally
yeah, you messed this up for Joe.
Sorry,
yeah.
Man. I'm
no,
sorry.
No, it's fine. I'm so like derailed now. So yeah, Robert DeLonge, guy with kind of a indie background, percussionist. Well, he's a guy. What do you
it's true.
Human male with, no, I don't know. So he like started out in rock bands. He was a percussionist, and now he kind of moved into the dance world, which, you know, obviously dance music exploding right now. His is, it plays comfortably along a lot of the bigger names, but I think it kind of sets itself apart in that there's like more going on rhythmically with his stuff versus a lot of the like A-list, like festival type EDM dudes. This new song, Better Days, I just think is awesome in that like he's just occasionally he's a good vocalist, again, like not an incredible vocalist. Sometimes you're listening to him and it almost sounds like Weird Al, where you're like you are not, you know, like it's kind of that like weird like tone to it, but it works because everything in this song kind of has like a weird like slant to it. I don't know. What do you think of it, Jason?
Yeah, I totally agree with you in that the song itself I thought was cooler than his performance on it. I think that he was a little bit lackluster in the sense of carrying the song and really taking it to that next level. I mean, I'm intrigued by his new stuff, but yeah, from immediate listening, I was just like, I feel like this would be be better suited with another vocalist. Not to say that like he's terrible. I just don't think this is the song for him.
Slam from no,
that's a slam at all.
Respectful. I was actually I was thinking about that when I was listening to it, because his contemporaries would probably put like a professional singer on this song, and I like kind of respect that he did it himself, like because he's his own artist and yada yada. But you're right, like I think this would have more crossover potential.
I'd love to hear a female vocalist take on this song.
I wish he would do more stuff with other people, but. I still enjoyed the song.
I like the song. I also don't really know anything about him. So I can't be like, oh, this is different from his last stuff. I did think it was a little too long, but I think it goes along with the fact that it just wasn't that like exciting as it could be because of the production. Like, I really like the production.
Yeah, production is definitely the star here.
Yeah.
Which is good.
Which is fine, yeah.
He's got a new project coming up. Yeah, second album.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens. So... Robert DeLong, let's listen to a new song, is Better Days.
But not forever. Sisters, brothers.
That was Rob DeLong, Better Days, Bobby D.
Bobby D.
Long.
Who says that?
All of his friends and his mom. I don't know. So, yeah, that's what we got this week. Summer is coming to a close. If you have any Song of the Summer recommendations for us or stuff we've talked about but that you have a differing opinion on, please tweet it at us. Let us know. And review the podcast. We love seeing reviews in the iTunes.
Ooh, yeah.
Jason is just like, both of our eyes just explode with delight whenever we see a review.
Jason lives in the comments. So yeah, he wants to know.
I want to know what you think. There was one that was like, from a recent one, that was like, no shade to Jason or Erica, but Joe has the best Billboard podcast. And I was like... I am offended by that, but so I appreciate the fact that this person commented.
See?
Right.
I wasn't actually offended by that.
He did lose a lot of sleep.
Yeah.
But, and someone...
Just wake up screaming in the middle of the night.
And someone said in the comments that they missed when Erica wasn't on the podcast.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, listen.
This one goes out to
if
you.
If you mention my name first, I will be back.
So next time...
I appreciate the love.
Yeah. The Must Hear Erica podcast. Yes. Must have it. Anyways, I don't know what I'm talking. I have no idea what I'm talking about. This got away from me. Hope your summer's going all right. And we'll see you again next time
for
in
more
our
sex
shiny
talk.
New
more
office.
Joe's sex jam.
Yeah, exactly.
Joe's sex jam.
Well, just boner jams next time. All right. We'll see you later.